the bride of Christ.
Paul said to the Corinthians, I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:2. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Ephesians 5:31-32. While in this case Paul was speaking of the corporate body being the bride of Christ, there are many instances where he used marriage language to describe individual saints being in Christ and Christ being in saints. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? 2 Corinthians 13:5. What, know ye not, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? 1 Corinthians 6:19. What, know ye not, that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:16-17.
I'm in Christ, and Christ's in me.
It is no coincidence that the path to wholeness offered by modern psychology is the opposite of that prescribed in the Bible. You deserve a break today, and love thyself are typical expressions of a culture that doesn't understand the way, the truth and the life as freedom. There has never been an earthly marriage as intimate as a marriage between the Christian and Christ by the Holy Spirit. The saint who is one spirit with God has a life filled with purpose and meaning, and should have no problem with low self-esteem. Therapists convince their patients guilt has nothing to do with sin, and teach the key to wholeness is self-realization. Solomon called this foolishness. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. Proverbs 18:2. The worst part of modern psychology is it works as long as, like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz, the adherent keeps repeating, there's no place like home, there's no place like home. Unfortunately, when the poor unfortunate dies, there'll be the devil to pay.
The saint, on the other hand, knows the truth by faith.
Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. Habakkuk 3:17-19. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:35-39. The indwelling Christ enabled the early Christians to walk into a gladiator arena singing praises to God minutes before being eaten by wild beasts.
Christ in you is all you need.
For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Colossians 3:3. This mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. John 14:17. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. John 14:23.
And you are in Christ.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans 8:1. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8:2. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. As E.M.B. Green said, without the twofold solidarity of God with us in Christ, and of us with Christ in God, the New Testament doctrine of justification, so far from establishing God's righteousness, would be immoral. As it is, there is no question of legal fiction, for believers are in Christ, and share his status of righteousness. How faith like that can be construed as something subpersonal defeats me.
The New Covenant in Christ.
In the Old Covenant, Israel was asked to keep the law solely by human effort, without any outside spiritual help other than the written and spoken word. Except for anointed priests, prophets, and kings, the people of Israel were not given a measure of God's Spirit. In this desperate state, still in the bondage of corruption. Romans 8:21, the children of Adam didn't fulfill the requirements of the law. The law served as a schoolmaster, to show man the utter impossibility of pleasing God in one's own strength. The law could not be kept without God's intimate help.
So Israel was brought to the point of despair.
O wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Romans 7:24. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Galatians 3:13-14. For this is the covenant, that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind, and write them in their hearts. Hebrews 8:10. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. John 14:26. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not, that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. 1 John 2:27. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. Romans 8:5.
Jesus was the first of his kind.
The Holy Spirit came upon Jesus immediately, after he was baptized. He promised the same thing would happen to his followers. Acts 1:5. Peter repeated the promise when he preached, Be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 2:38. Peter remembered the promise again when explaining why he baptized Gentiles. Acts 11:16. John the Baptist had prophesied that Jesus would completely immerse believers in the Holy Ghost. Matthew 3:11, Mark 1:8, Luke 3:16, John 1:33. Jesus told Nicodemus that only those born of the Spirit would enter the kingdom of God. John 3:5. The Apostle John said matter-of-factly that those who believed on Jesus would receive the Holy Ghost, calling him rivers of living water. John 7:38-39. Later, Jesus promised the disciples that the Father would send the Holy Spirit to believers in his name. John 14:26. This is how it would be possible for the disciples to be one with God as Jesus and the Father were one. John 17:21. When God consummates his marriage with a believer, the Holy Spirit gives him a new nature, new power over sin, and a new name, Saint, which is the same as the Holy Spirit's name, that name is holy. Strong's number 40. When Paul came upon the disciples of Apollos, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard, whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Acts 19:2-3. Notice in Paul's mind the connection between water baptism and receiving the Holy Ghost. Also, he equated believing with water baptism. The Holy Spirit is the agent of salvation. Paul knew something was wrong with the disciples of Apollos. Perhaps they didn't exhibit righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans 14:17. Perhaps they never mentioned the name of Jesus, a pretty good indication that he wasn't inside of them. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Whatever the reason, Paul assumed when they were baptized correctly as a function of saving faith in Christ, they would receive the Holy Spirit, and they did.
The definition of marriage and salvation.
In order to understand how the meaning of New Testament salvation evolved, let's compare it to the evolution of the definition of human marriage. 100 years ago, Western civilization saw marriage as a union between a man and a woman. Becoming one flesh took place at the consummation of the marriage when a man and a woman had sexual intercourse. For example, Rebecca was betrothed to Isaac from the time she said "I will" to Abraham's servant, but she married, became one flesh with, Isaac, without the benefit of a ceremony, soon after she entered his tent. Genesis 24:67. If a man raped a maid, he was forced to give her all the privileges of a wife. Exodus 22:16, since he had married her. In ancient Roman, it was illegal for a couple to marry, unless they could consummate the marriage through sexual intercourse. A man without a functional penis was not allowed to marry. The Roman law allowed all eunuchs to make wills. Code of Justinian 6.22.5.12.5.4.2-3, and perform guardianship duties. Code of Justinian 5.62.1. But only whole eunuchs, men for whom sexual intercourse was psychologically difficult, but physically possible, were eligible for marriage. D. The 23rd of March 1939.1, 28.2.6. In the first century, Jewish men born with missing or deformed genitals were prevented from getting married. In the New Testament, Jesus referred to eunuchs as those that didn't marry, either by choice or because of physical impossibility. Those that chose not to marry for the sake of the kingdom of God were called eunuchs, because being a eunuch was the same as one who couldn't, or chose not to engage in sex. Matthew 19:12. In other words, there was no such thing as a marriage that couldn't be consummated. This may be hard for us to understand, but remember, the only thing that distinguishes a marriage from all other relationships, including family relationships, is that the couple engages in sexual intercourse and can potentially reproduce. Fast forward 2,000 years. Marriage has been divorced from heterosexual sex. Marriage is now a state of mind. If two or more people want to get married, their state of mind is all that matters. Now let's look at how the definition of New Testament salvation has changed in exactly the same way. Modern evangelism theology defines salvation as a state of mind. If you want to be saved, and say the right words, you are saved. It doesn't matter that your marriage with God hasn't been consummated. It's irrelevant whether or not the Holy Spirit has come into you, making you one spirit with Christ, 1 Corinthians 6:17. All that matters is that you think you're saved.